Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls with Larry. What's up, everybody?
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hey.
How you doing?
Who all we got on the line that wants to speak up?
Bob from Ohio.
Hey, Bob.
This is Mike from Fort Mill.
Mike, what's up?
Doing good.
Anybody else want to speak up? I know we got a lot of people on here. I heard it whenever I jumped on.
Yeah, Mike and Jack.
California.
Good point.
Awesome.
California.
Awesome. Who else wants to jump on?
Vicky from California.
Great. You're cutting out a little bit on us, but I heard from California.
Vicky.
That's good. Anybody else want to jump in? Awesome, awesome. Okay, great. What we normally do, if this is your first time on here, is we do biweekly Q&A call. It's not a planned agenda. It is really an opportunity for you to speak directly with me live in person and get your questions answered. And sometimes there's a lot of people that will speak up. Sometimes there's a very few people that will speak up. But I'll be on here as long as you guys need me to. So who has a question you want to jump in and throw out there? Don't all go at once now. Anybody
okay,
have
I'll get
anything
it started,
you're working on? Yeah, go ahead.
Do you see any reason to join, like, what is the one real estate website? It's not Zillow, it's, I don't know, they do bank repos and all kinds of stuff, but it's a fee.
Oh, like RealtyTrack.
RealtyTrack, that's it.
Yeah, I figured that's what it was. I actually flew out to RealtyTrack a few years ago and met with their CEO to learn a little bit more about what they do, which was pretty cool. But personally, quite frankly, I don't really see any value in buying a subscription to something like that, because as soon as it's available to the public, then you're able to get it through a realtor, because the foreclosure process works like this. A person gets in default. The bank files a notice of default. They foreclose on the property. They hire an asset manager to manage that asset, to dispose of it. They hire a field service crew to go out and winterize the house and change the locks and put the signs in the window and all that stuff. And then they hire a realtor to do a BPO, and sometimes it's the same realtor, but sometimes it's a different realtor that eventually gets the listing. So that's kind of the whole process in a nutshell. And the only advantage of, in my opinion, of signing up for a paid subscription service like that is if you were planning on looking for the notice of defaults and going directly to the bank to try to buy the note or buy the mortgage from them, as opposed to buying it as a foreclosure, because that's the only way that they sell them direct to individuals. But quite frankly, right now, there's so many hedge funds out there looking for investments, so much money on the street, and it's called anxious money. There's a lot of money out there looking for a place to invest, so they're buying a lot of notes. In fact, if you know of many note brokers or note people out there, one of the things that they're doing is they're not buying directly from the banks. The hedge funds are buying from the banks, and then the hedge funds are doling them out to other small note brokers and note companies. And then they're even going around and or turning around and selling the notes to individual investors. So you got the hedge funds buying 100 or 200 notes at a time. Then you have these small note broker people buying maybe 10 or 20 at a time. And then they'll keep some, they'll foreclose on some, they'll do a loan modification on some, and then they'll turn around and sell a few to individual investors like us. So I know that was a very long answer, but I wanted it to be a very informative answer, so I hope that helped.
It was. It did. Thank you.
Awesome. Cool. Good. That was a very good question, by the way. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out? Anything you're working on? Anything you're having a challenge with?
I had a question about probate. Now, if you're going to a specific county or something like that and you're trying to find probate records, do you have to have like a specific, you know, maybe official looking letter, and then you would send that to the various counties or whatever? Is that how it works, or is there something else that I'm missing there on how
but
that works?
Tell me what you're hoping your letter accomplishes. Are you talking about to find the what do you call it, the person who oversees the estate?
Right, executor. Executor,
yeah. So you can do that at the courthouse, and all the courthouses have that information, and it is public information. It's, you know, they have to file that information, and you look for the ones that have real property in the estate. The ones that have real property, that means they have real estate in the estate. Now, if you want to go the little more expensive route, it's a little quicker, but it's a little more expensive, is you can pay a lead company like, I think it's actually called probateleads.com.
Okay.
I think so. Don't quote me on that domain, but you can do a Google search of probate leads, and you can find some of the lead companies, and they'll sell you backdated leads as well as current leads. So say you're wanting to go into a particular MSA, like I live in the Charlotte, North Carolina MSA. I actually live, you know, down toward Lake Wylie, South Carolina, but I'm in the Charlotte MSA, Metropolitan Statistical Area. So what you would do is you would go to one of these lead companies and say, I want the previous probate leads for back to 12 months, and then you could start marketing them, and then you're going to get all the current ones every month sent to you in either a particular zip code or area, city, county, or MSA. And but you can, if you're wanting to work the county or area right where you are, you could physically just go right down there and get a list of those.
Okay, that sounds pretty good, because, you know, that's going to save a lot of time having the having the lead company do it, and then it's going to, you know, sure, they're going to have stuff that's more current as well, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to look into that one, because with those leads, you know, with those lists, then I could start working on the direct mail, is it?
Yes, you want to do direct mail, and you can mail postcards or letters or whatever you want to. There's a lot of samples out there online as well.
Okay.
In fact, we're starting to do quite a few direct mail. I actually, here's what I do with our direct mail is, I've got a girl who she calls all of the leads that come in. Okay. The leads go to a service called Freedom Voice, freedomvoice.com. They, you know, when somebody calls, they get a voicemail message, and then they leave a message. When they leave that message, it automatically gets put into our CRM, our customer relationship manager, automatically. And it creates an opportunity for Leah, our girl, our virtual assistant, to call them. And so she picks up the phone and calls them, and she gets some preliminary information. And then here's the way we work. She round robins them to our acquisition managers, and we only have a few, but she round robins them, you know, first one to Denise, next one to V, next one to Randolph, next one to Denise, then V, then Randolph, Denise, V, Randolph. And Randolph is also my head coach. So so if somebody has a lot without a house on it, they don't really know what to do with that, okay? They don't know how to analyze that kind of deal. I could teach them, but it's okay. So on those, they create an opportunity or a task for me to call them. I actually made 8 phone calls today, and made offers on all eight of those properties. And but now with lots, now, I mean, there was one person wanting $150,000. There was another one wanting $120,000. I mean, I'll offer them about 10% of what they want, okay? There was one girl on there. She wanted, like, I don't know, $5,000 a lot or something. And I offered her, and she had three lots, and I offered her $750 for all three. So I offered her $250 per lot. Now, what would I do with a lot? Here's what I would do. I would go out, I would put me an ad on Craigslist. I would put an ad on Craigslist, and I would say, building lot, and I would put the name of the street, and I would put $5,000 with $1,000 down. And payment of $150 a month. And then I would finance it. And I would put that in my IRA.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so that's kind of what I would do, and that's kind of how we worked that. But that was a long roundabout way to tell you about probate, but there was some extra answers in there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So did that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
I've got a lot of questions regarding that because I'm trying to break down the various direct mail. Here's another question that I had was kind of a little bit separate than that.
Sure.
If I was to, would I require a different squeeze page and different letters for different types of marketing leads, you know, say like, for example, family court, probate, let's see, some of the other ones. Well, I guess there would be quite a few other different missing owners, landlords. And so my question is, would I need to come up with various different letters for those, for each one of those different ways of obtaining properties?
Well, need to, no. You know, want to,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
You know, you could say, you know, I noticed you own a property or have an interest in a property at 125 Oak Street. Whether it's a probate, you know, you need to settle an estate, or you're an absentee owner, or you're a don't-want-er landlord, or you're tired of managing tenants, or you've gone through a divorce, or, you know, whatever. You know, we buy properties, pay cash, can close very fast. Give me a shot to make you an all-cash offer. And here's what we say, guys. This is really good stuff. Listen to this. Our postcard actually says, we have a cash offer waiting for you. That's what it says. Please contact us about your property located at 125 Oak Street. We have an all-cash offer waiting for you. So here's what happens. When they call up, they say, I was calling to see what my offer is on my house. Well, naturally, we don't know what the offer is going to be, but here's what we say. You know, we say, yes, sir, we do have a cash offer ready on your house, but the cash offer is based on public information, and we are typically able to pay a lot more than the initial cash offer that we have just based on public information. So if you would like to see exactly what the highest and best offer I could give you, if you'll allow me to ask a few questions about your property, I'll be glad to get that offer out to you. And most of the time they say yes. So then we ask them, you know, how'd you acquire the property, how many bedrooms, how many baths, what's your situation, why do you want to sell it, you know, what's the balance, how far behind on the mortgage are you, you know, how much in repairs, just a ballpark, you know, whose name's the house in, all that good stuff. And all that is written down in our CRM, and then Leah assigns a task to one of our asset managers, and then they follow up and make a cash offer. How was that?
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, I'm going to let some other people ask questions. I've got a lot of questions regarding, like, direct mail and...
Oh, sure, sure. All right, cool. Let's see if anybody else wants to throw out a question. If not, you jump back in there. Anybody else have a question? Anybody have a question you want to throw out? Yeah, just go ahead. Anybody's got a question? All right, you're back up.
That's like, yeah, I'd say go ahead. I want to hear about direct mail. So,
okay, so
go for it.
Okay, before I get to that one, this one here, the question I had was, is it a good idea to hire a credit coach if you want to work on establishing credit within your business? You know, not personal credit. We'll say, you know, you've got your 10 Freddie Mac loans and so forth. No. Would it be a good idea, or what is your opinion of hiring a credit coach to establish credit within side of your business?
Are you talking about corporate credit?
Yes.
Or business lines of credit?
Right.
Yeah, there's people out there that offer business lines of credit. And, you know, there's a lot of them actually in our real estate space. In fact, not too long ago, I think we did a webinar about that, with getting business lines of credit where people could apply and get lines of credit.
Okay.
There's probably a replay at LarryGoins.com mm-hmm. somewhere. But, there's a lot of different places you can get business lines of credit. I'm not so sure that you would need a business credit coach. I'm not really sure what they would be able to do for you, but there are a lot of places where you could apply for and get business lines of credit. And some of them do not pull your credit. Most of them do, but some of them do not. If you just do a Google search, you will find some out there. But also, another source for small lines of credit are websites like Prosper.com, LendingClub.com, and Kickstarter.com.
Okay. Are you familiar with, I believe it's Cabbage? Yeah, that's a newer one also. Cabbage.
Yeah,
it's
another crowdfunding site, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it's another crowdfunding site, just like Kickstarter.
Okay.
I think Kickstarter is probably the most popular.
Uh-huh.
Just like Lending Club is the most popular peer-to-peer site. I mean, I'm sorry, Prosper.com is the most popular peer-to-peer site.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. The Kickstarter, that's the other one that's similar. It's kind of similar to Cabbage I was thinking of.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay, I will explore those.
Okay, cool. Good, but I'm not so sure about a real business credit coach. Yeah, I'm not so sure you would need that, but maybe you do. Maybe there's some out there, and there's a reason for it.
On the Real Life Real Estate podcast that I heard you on a couple of weeks ago, there was a Vina had interviewed a credit coach a while back. I'm going to go look back through the iTunes there and see if I could find it, but it was, I think, like last year or something like that, and I just thought about it, and I wanted to bring it up.
Is that
everybody.
Where I did the radio show thing with Vina?
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Okay, cool.
But this was one that was done, I listened to them, you know, I listened to them when they come out, but this one was like last year, you know, about the credit coach, somebody that she interviewed that actually does that. I think she was from, like, Indiana or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you could probably find it out there. I'm sure you could probably find that podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and, you know, look for it, find it, and then, you know, because they'll list their website or number or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering if you had heard anything about that kind of thing.
No, I really hadn't. I mean, there's a lot of different ones out there. A lot of different ones out there.
Okay. Now, on the, this is going to be related to automation again. Now, if you do a, when you give out like a recording, what do you call that? The a voicemail.
A voice blast?
Yes, voice blast. That's what I was trying to think of. What would be a good way of trying to present that, you know, to where it's not too pushy? If you were trying to get some properties under contract to put on your buyer's list, you know, because say I've got a prospective client that has they have real estate for sale, but I believe that I could sell it. I could get it under contract and sell it. Get it sold to some of my buyers. And what I'm wondering is what would be a good approach to where, you know, they don't think that, you know, maybe you're too pushy and all of that. Or
now, who are you trying to do a voice blast to?
It would be to the seller of the properties.
What kind of properties or where did you find this seller?
Okay, I found the seller at Cincinnati RIA. I just went to the conference over the weekend, and she sells a lot. She buys a lot of them, like from probate landlords that sell for whatever reason, and so she's got some that are leased. They're fairly inexpensive.
So this is a wholesaler?
Yes.
She's a wholesaler, and you're wanting to do a voice blast to her for what reason?
To let her know that I can get the property sold for her.
Oh, well, all you really need to do is just tell her to put you on her buyer's list.
Okay.
And trust me, she'll reach out to you when she gets something.
Right, that's exactly what it is, because there's a couple of houses that they're pre-leased and everything, kind of older houses, older neighborhood type deal, and we were talking and everything, and I had her buyer's card, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to put her on my buyer's list. Well.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's good. You can put her on your buyer's list. Tell her to put you on her buyer's list. Because I have other wholesalers that I've bought houses from and sold houses to, the same wholesaler.
Oh, okay. Great. Just a inverse relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It works both ways.
Okay.
Absolutely. Cool.
But what happened was we were talking and she showed it to me on her cell phone and I knew exactly, you know, where it was located and so forth. And, you know, she told me it was free leased and all of that. And for the most part, I believe that it was a deal. I mean, it's cash flowing, you know, every day.
Right.
And
right.
It needs nothing. I didn't really get into detail as to where it's one of them that she just picked up and she didn't, you know, she didn't put it on her other list of things. And she says, well, Derek, if you're interested in this property, just let me know. So I'm going to be calling her probably in the next day or two. And I want to see if I could get it under contract or whatever. Now, one of the things they said at one of the seminars there, they said, don't ask a person about lease option on the very first time. You know, maybe later on down the road, ask them, say, well, would you maybe consider lease option or something like that? Because then they may be kind of like maybe fearful, or maybe they might not want to do it. Maybe another buyer might want it, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I think it really depends on the lead. If you're talking to somebody and the house is worth $150,000 and they owe $140,000 and they're just tired of making the payments, they just want somebody to take over the payments, then the only kind of deal you can do on that is a lease option deal for the most part. So that's going to need to be in your first conversation. And, you know, like we have a deal right now that we're working. It came off a direct mail, and the house is worth about maybe $150,000, and they owe, no, wait a minute, the house is worth $130,000, Trying to think back of our conversation we had today. I think the house might actually be worth $150. It's somewhere, $130, $150, but they owe $130 on it. And we're asking them, because we told them for us to make our numbers work, we need to be at $110, I believe it is.
Okay.
So they're thinking about bringing $20,000 to closing to pay us to take over their payments. That makes sense?
Yes. Yes.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, so they would I'm kind of unsure how that would work. Could you just repeat that last couple of sentences again?
Yeah. Instead of I'm sorry, hold on just 1 second.
Okay.
I'm sorry. My son just came in here. Say that again. Run through that again.
No, I was just wondering if you could explain the last. You were saying something. They have to bring so much to the table that the amount of money that you would need to make it work, is that the amount of money that they're going to bring to the table? 10,
that's right.
Grand or
that's
something?
Right.
Okay,
in other words, they owe $20,000 more than I'm willing to pay. And the
okay.
only way I could make mm-hmm. this deal work is if they bring $20,000 to the closing.
Oh, that's excellent. Sure.
Yeah, I've had people do that before, believe it or not. They'll pay you to take over their payments.
And that would get them out of the liability of it. The liability portion, you know, and instead of trying to wait for an agent to sell it and have it on the market and this and that.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's fabulous.
You like that, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's cash money. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And see, even if I get somebody to give me, and like those payments, I think, are just under $1,000 a month. So if I could get somebody to pay me $1,300 or $1,400 a month and maybe give me $5,000 down, I made $25,000 and I'm making a couple hundred dollars cash flow. Does that make sense?
Now, yes. Now you would turn around and lease option it at that point, or would you just rent it?
Well, you could do one of two things. I could lease option it, and then I could from the seller, and then I could turn around and lease option it with the buyer. I could do a master lease with the seller, and
okay.
just a master lease with an option or without an option. Then I could turn around and lease it out to someone with or without an option. I could do it either way. Either one of those ways would work.
Okay, let's take that example right there. Okay, now they're going to pay you basically to take it off of their hands. Now, what would you see as being like a refundable deposit on it for someone else to lease option it from you?
Well, if it's a $130,000 house, I would probably try to get around between $5,000 and $10,000.
Okay.
But realistically, I'm going to get as much as I can.
I see. Okay.
I'm going to ask for as much as I can.
Okay.
And whatever they tell me they have, I'm going to try to get a little bit more from that than that to see if that's really all they have. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
And the house is worth, you know, it's worth good money. So, and a lot of people want to stay in like a better neighborhood. If they're, you know, maybe their credit shot or whatever,
that's
so
right.
They'll go
that's
ahead
the reason they would
the,
do a lease option.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great.
Awesome, awesome. I'm glad that helped. Anybody else want to jump in with a question? Some good questions here tonight. Anybody else have something you want to throw out there? Don't be embarrassed. Just throw it out there.
You want to go over a deal?
I'd be glad to go over a deal.
Okay. This is one I just came across today.
Okay.
It's a three-bedroom, two-bath. It's about 1,200 square feet. It was built in 1999. And it is bank-owned. It's been vacant for quite a while. The realtor said that even though it's been vacant for quite a while, she's seen other properties that have been vacant for 6 months that are in much worse shape.
Uh-huh.
She said it doesn't look like it'd take too much to get it back into good shape, maybe $500 to $7,500.
Okay.
Let's see. A little bit of drywall work and some plumbing work and maybe some carpet. Let's see. They have it. The market value is right around $40,000.
When you say market, is that the ARV, the after repaired value?
After repaired value, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And they've got a price on it of 39.
So they're asking what it's going to be worth if you put $7,500 in it.
Yeah, when I look at the comps in the neighborhood, it's probably 40, 45, but
okay.
I'll go on the low end.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, this is more of a rental property. It's not a fix and flip.
Okay.
It's definitely not a fix and flip, and I'll tell you why. Most mortgage lenders have a minimum loan amount of around $50,000. And if your ARV is 45, you're going to have to find a cash buyer. Plus, think about this. Even if you did find a lender that would make a loan on that property, if the ARV is only $45,000, any buyer that has good enough credit and a down payment to buy that $45,000 house can probably go buy a $75,000 or
$80,000
house. Gotcha. Because it's not that, I mean, think about it. What's the mortgage payment at today's rates going to be on a $40,000 loan? It's going to be $200 a month.
$240, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That would be a better rental property. In my opinion, they're already asking too much for that property.
Okay, okay. So if you would look at it as a rental property with about $10,000 in repairs, you'd probably be at about a max of
$18,000? Of what I would pay for it?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. What are you going to do with it? What are your plans?
Well, it wouldn't be – it's a nice house, and it's in a decent area. Not a great area, but a decent area.
Don't get emotionally attached.
For my IRA. What's that?
Oh, I said don't get emotionally attached.
No.
You're thinking
but,
about putting it in your IRA?
It might be good for my IRA. Yeah.
Okay.
Rent value on it is $650 to $700 a month.
Okay. And where do you live?
Akron.
Akron, Ohio, and is that where the property is too?
Yeah.
So you know the market there, and you know it's not in a depressed part of Akron, because Akron's already made the turn. It's coming back.
Yeah, this area is pretty flat. It's not expected to increase too much over the next year or so, but it's pretty flat.
All right, If you make an offer of 18, you put another 10 in it, you have 28 in it, and you rent it out for $650 a month, that's not a bad return. You can get better, but it's not a bad return.
Yeah.
I would imagine, I don't know this, but I would imagine well, that, Akron, Ohio, you can get better deals than that for cash flow.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Okay.
Well, I hope that helped.
So basically, don't. So if they're too close to if they're too close to the ARV, don't push them.
Yeah, I mean that one already. It needs $500 to $7,500 in work, according to what you said, and they're already and the ARV is 40, and they're asking 39. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
That's just my own opinion.
No, I think you're right. I've got a couple that are like. They're asking 24.9, and the ARV is like 60 or 69 thousand.
There you go.
In there, so that's,
and I'm sure
that's
they don't need
a,
20 or 30 thousand in work either.
I hope not.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Even if it was, if the ARV is 60 or 70, and they're only asking 25, then you know for it to be the same kind of deal, it would need to have you know $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in work.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
So. I hope that helped.
Okay. That did help. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else have something you want to throw out there? Anybody?
Okay. Now, I was getting back with the automated again. What would be a good example of using a voice blast? Somebody that you would voice blast to somebody that would be a buyer. I mean, I know that that would be one. What would be some other examples where you could use voice blast? You know, more consistently to get somebody's attention, get them to want to turn around. They might be skeptical at first, but then they'll hear it a couple of times. Like I've heard some voice blasts that you've done, and you know they were pretty effective.
Well, first off, to do a voice blast, you have to have the person has opted into your list. So it's not just a matter of like going down to probate and looking up the executor's name and phone number, and then doing a voice blast. It's got to be somebody you already have a relationship with. So,
okay.
Having said that, say you're doing direct mail, and every property you go out and look at, but, you know, you make them an offer, but for some reason they just didn't take it. You could put them into a follow-up campaign and say every 30 days, just shoot out a voice blast that says something like this. Hey, this is Larry. I came out and talked to you about your property about a month ago, and I just wanted, or a while back, and I just wanted to follow up with you and see if you were still interested in selling it. I've got some money that I need to spend this week, so I thought I would send out this voice blast to a few people that I'd talked to recently and see if you need some money and you're ready to sell. If so, just press 1 right now on your phone, and you'll be connected to me.
Okay. Okay.
There you have it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as far as buyers, on your buyers list,
mm-hmm.
what you could do is you could say, you know, hey, this is Larry. I've got you down on my VIP buyers list, and I just got a property under contract that I think is a real winner. It's not going to last long, so I thought I'd send out this voice message to a few people on my buyers list to give them a heads up about it before it goes out to my email list and everybody gets a look at it. So just press 1 on your phone right now, and you'll be connected right to me, and I'll tell you all about it. Or you can go to my website at investorsrehab.com. And it's at 125 Oak Street. Check it out. You
okay.
can also do text messaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because most people are using their cell phone now. A lot of people don't even have a home phone anymore. But you could do text messaging as well, just as effective.
Do you do the text message along with the voice message, or?
Well, you wouldn't do it at the same time, but, you know, it's two different mediums.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it could be the same prospective client.
Absolutely.
You just wouldn't mix
Absolutely.
It up.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I see.
Absolutely you can. And for the voice blasting, you can use Voice Shot, I believe is the one we use. And what is that one for text messaging? I believe it's called Call 8, and that's K-A-L-L and the number 8.com.
Okay. I've heard you mention that one before.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that helped a lot. Thanks.
Awesome. You're very welcome. My pleasure. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out? Got some good questions going on tonight. Anybody else want to jump in?
Hey, Larry.
Yes, sir.
Do you buy much off of Hubzu?
You know, there's a reason we don't buy off of Hubzu, I think, because those properties... No, wait a minute. Hubzu is the one where you have to submit the offers online, right?
Right, right.
We have bought some off of there.
Okay.
And
it's
not that we're buying a whole lot, but we
really
have bought some off of there. I'm sorry?
It's the home path that you don't buy anything off of because of the holding period.
That's right, that's right, that's right. I was confused there
yeah.
for a minute. You know more about
okay.
it than I do.
Trying.
but yeah, we have bought some stuff off of Hubzu, and we have one of our VAs that makes those offers through our real estate
okay.
agent.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Cool. I hope that helped.
Nope.
Anybody else have a question you want to throw out? Anybody?
Now, the VA, when they make the offer to the agent, it's just through like an email type deal, nothing like phone calls or anything like that?
Very, very good question. They prepare a written offer on a contract form, and we have a cover letter that goes with it. They email the offer to the listing agent, and then they call the listing agent. Most of the time they're going to get their voicemail, but they say, I just wanted to let you know we sent an offer over to you at 125 Oak Street. We look forward to hearing back from you.
Okay.
It helps. It really helps to make that phone call as well. And the cover letter says something like this. I don't know exactly what it says because I'm going off the top of my head, but the cover letter says, please find attached an offer on your listing at 125 Oak Street. I know it is a very low offer. It is not meant to offend you or your seller. However, we have been very surprised at some of the properties that we've gone on to close that started with an offer in this range. So please do not let it affect your seller's response. We look forward to hearing from you and your seller with a counteroffer. That just takes away all the sting of a lowball offer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did it just the opposite, and now it's starting to make more sense because what I did was I called the listing agent and made an offer over the phone, and they never got back with me at all.
Right.
But I didn't send out any formal offer. You know, I didn't have anything on paper.
Oh, well, listen,
so,
you can do it both ways. I believe in, you know, getting them on the phone and talking to them, but if you're – you know, I was thinking when you said your question, you said when sending out an offer. But but yes, you can call them on the phone as well. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
you can.
The one offer I called, it was a property that was interested in Hamilton, Ohio. But they never, I went right with the listing agent when I made the offer, but I didn't have anything in writing. You know, I didn't do the offer on paper. I just called about it, you know, said it over the phone, but they never got back with me. So I'm thinking, you know, this next time when I do it, I'm going to do it, you know, like you said, the paper, the email, you know, the formal way, the right way, and then, you know, remind them, hey, what do you think about this offer or whatever, or, you know, something to the effect that you were saying.
Exactly.
Because they might not have been taking me serious, you know what I mean?
They might not have. They might not have. But our offer comes as though it's coming from a buyer's agent, not an investor, when we send out the email with the offer attached.
Okay. Can you explain that a little bit more, the buyer's agent part?
Yeah, all we do is we have an email address set up that is used for our buyer's agent. And our VA can log in and use that email address. And then the VA will fill out the document, attach the cover letter, or just type it in the email or copy and paste in the email, send it over to the listing agent. And the listing agent thinks it's coming from another agent.
Okay.
It's really
clever.
My virtual assistant that's working for me through my buyer's agent.
That's neat. They're not going to, because, you know, they're not going to be, they're not going to be as suspicious, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, it's almost like the attorney to attorney conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot different than attorney to client.
Mm-hmm.
This is realtor to realtor, or so they think it is. Which really
that's a big deal to them.
Well, you know, it's like they're dealing more peer-to-peer.
Okay.
They're dealing more professional to professional.
I see. Yeah. I like the way that sounds. It's pretty creative.
Yeah. It works out pretty well. Cool. I hope that helped.
Certainly.
Good, good. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out? Anybody?
Larry, do you have
anybody have a question?
Hello?
Yes.
Do you have to set up a virtual assistant?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out on me really bad. Can you say it one more time?
Do you have to set up a virtual assistant?
I only heard you say, do you have something virtual assistants?
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. For some reason,
okay, hold on. Let me see.
Try it
How
one
about
more
now?
Time.
Do you have to set up the virtual assistant when we go through the training?
Do I help set up virtual assistants?
Yeah, I'll show you how to set up the virtual assistant.
Yeah, we usually hire most of ours through ODesk.
Okay.
I really like ODesk. In ODESK.com, and you can go
ODesk.
To ODesk.com and just create your own ad based on whatever it is you want them to do. And then you could also, if you're just searching for people, you can do a search for people who have real estate in their profile and then narrow it down to people with only 4.5 to 5 stars, people who have worked at least 100 hours, been on there in the last 30 days, and speak, what is it called? It's not, oh, it's fluent English, not native, but fluent English, and it will work for $5 an hour or less.
Okay.
So there you have it. I hope that helped.
Thanks.
Good, good. Anybody else have a question?
Well, you had mentioned Odesk before, and I just wanted you to compare that with Elance, because I thought Elance was pretty good, and I was wondering if you had if you were just getting like better results with Odesk, you know, maybe.
Well, no,
I
think it's just a matter of preference. I mean, I've just gotten accustomed to the way Odesk website is laid out, and I can navigate it pretty easy, and I kind of like it. A lot of them have the same service providers on several of those different sites. But I've just, you know, just kind of gotten accustomed to using Odesk. I mean, there's Odesk, there's Guru.com, there's HireMyMom.com, there's VAForYou.com, Elance.com, VWorker.com, BestJobs.ph. There's a ton of them. But I've just kind of gotten used to Odesk and had pretty good success with it, and it does have a ton of people on the site, so you know, that's the only reason I use it.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Cool. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out? Anything.
Well, I'd like to know what your opinion is of, okay, say for example, if, okay, you've got all your automation and so forth and all your systems in place, and you have another broker, but they don't, you know, they're not as automated as you. Is it legal, or would it be a good idea to just, you know, bring they have the inventory, but you have the systems to have, you know, bring their inventory to your system and
uh-huh.
then, you know, sell it that way.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by bringing their inventory to my system to sell it. First thing you got to do is negotiate the deal to a discount that's low enough to where you could add some money to it and sell it still below, you know, what they're asking for it. So it's not just a matter of bringing somebody's inventory to your list. I mean, you got to negotiate a deal there somehow.
I get that part.
Okay. Good, good. So there really isn't anything as far as, like, importing into our, you know, CRM or anything like that. We don't do any of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking at properties, analyzing them, and either picking up the phone and making an offer or emailing them and making an offer. Except for HUD stuff. All HUD offers are submitted online at HUDHomestore.com and HubZoo also.
Have you been doing a lot of HUDs lately? I know you had a while back, year and a half ago when I talked with you.
Yes, we have, right now, we have 9 properties under contract, and 5 of them are HUD.
Wow.
I shouldn't say 5. It's either 4 or 5. I can't remember which, but it's either 4 or 5. So, you know, somewhere around half. So, believe it or not, you can still do deals on HUD.
Now, when you get it under contract, you close on it and everything, and then once you have it in your possession within your company, then you would sell it to someone on your buyer's list?
Yeah, what we do is once we get a property under contract, we go to work on the due diligence. And then we go to work on the due diligence. We get kind of a scope of work. And then we, once we do that, we'll put it out to our buyers list. And, I mean, we'll run comps and all that on it, of course. and we'll put it out to our buyers list, and we'll find a buyer. And then on the day we're supposed to close, that's the same day we close with our buyer as well.
I see.
Yeah, that's what we try to do all the time. It's hard to do them all like that all the time, but that's what we try to do.
When you close on it, I mean, is it going to be like simultaneous, or is it just you assign the contract to them right then after they?
Well, it depends on what
after you got the contract.
It depends on what kind of contract it is. If it's through a realtor, they don't want you to assign contracts. However, if it's if it's a direct mail lead or an individual, there's no realtor involved, then yes, we'll use and or time.
I understand now when you said it depends on, you know, where the deal is originating from it and stuff. You know, who wants it? Does another investor want it?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I understand that. It's a little bit more rules, isn't it, involving, you know, like bank-owned or HUD versus just buying from another. You still have to do your due diligence, obviously, but it's a little bit easier going from investor to investor.
That's true. Exactly. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out there? Anybody? Some really good questions tonight. Anybody else got anything?
Well, if no one else has a question, I wanted to get in here
sure. And
ask something. Okay. Now, this question is about motivated sellers. Okay. Now, is there always a type of situation where you give them a lower offer? Or is it any, you know, type of situations where you would give them pretty much what they ask? Or is it just, because sometimes it could be a house where they just want to get out of it. The example you made earlier was good, where they didn't have any equity. So they would pay you pretty much to get out of it.
Right.
Are there any kind of situations where they had equity, and you would be willing to give them close to what they wanted because, you know, the place was pristine or whatever, or the numbers, they're actually selling it kind of like price to perfection, you know, they would only take so much, but the offer, the amount that they wanted was right. It was like in a sweet spot, but you saw ARV would bring the property a lot higher.
Yeah, I always try to get as good a deal as I can. If they're asking price is close to what I can pay, I'll still try to get a little better deal. That's just in my nature. I can't help it.
Okay.
But
okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. That would be, you know, strategy of negotiation and all that. You know, like say if you say, well, it doesn't have to be necessarily a low ball, but if you take, say, you know, 10 grand lower than what they're asking to get them to come back with a counter offer. And then,
right.
And then if you don't come up with anything, and that's the part where I'm learning, is to be more patient. And learn about the negotiation part instead of maybe giving them what they want and then, you know, find out maybe later on that they're not going to accept a lowball offer. But at the same time, I'd be able to learn to avoid, you know, those kind of deals, if that makes any sense at all.
It does, but every deal has to stand on its own. And, yeah, just remember every deal's got to stand on its own. And, you know, listen, you either want one or two things. You want price or terms. If somebody's going to give you, I mean, think about this. If a house is worth $150,000 and they're asking $150,000, but they're willing to finance it for you with no money down and 0% interest, that's a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and I know that's an extreme example, you know, but I've seen deals like that happen where somebody will sell it to you with no interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, either want price or terms, one of the two.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, it's very important. Very important. So cool. I hope that helped.
Yes.
Good. Anybody else have a question? Well, this is the longest call we've had in a while. Anybody else have anything you want to throw out? Okay, going once, going twice. All right, everybody, I appreciate you guys being on tonight. Thank you so much for your business. I really appreciate it. You guys got some great questions. Go out there and make some deals. Make it happen. If you ever need anything in between these calls, just shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com or give me a call at the office. Hit zero, tell them you're an Inner Circle student, and ask for me. If I'm not there, they will have me call you back wherever I am. So I really appreciate your business, and thanks a lot for being on tonight. And I wish you the best, and thanks again. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye, guys.
You too. Good night.